Biddy bong. Here we are. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're all right. Oh, how do we start this, Chris? Home and.
Do you want me to?
I am not a fucking pirate.
Do you want me to do it for you, or
go on then?
Home or away, win or lose, ABW Radio, your place for Arsenal views.
And he made that up himself. As you can see, yet again, there is four people here. Three of us are Arsenal fans.
Right.
The only one hosting it.
Twatface.
Thanks to our lovely Aussie Guno, he's managed to get us onto a website that has perfect quality streams. So I watched it all. And I wish I'd have done a Chris and watched it all on Twitter, because it was
disappointing. I didn't watch it on Twitter.
We're not here to have a moan. But first of all, our lovely guests. And we shall say hello to Ross first, a Southampton fan who's been with us a few times. Hello, Ross.
Good evening.
I may well call you Josh at some point during this show. But it's probably going to happen.
I'd understand.
Yes. Would you like to promote the other podcast that you do with a certain pirate here so people can go and have a listen to your wise words?
If I'm given the platform, yes. I am part of the Football Hipsters podcast, which I'm sure Chris has mentioned on a couple of occasions, and Danny pops on occasionally. So
I do.
If you're interested in listening to me ramble about Southampton, etc., then you can come and find me, Chris, and Danny sometimes on the Football Hipsters.
And Josh, the real Josh Dore, has been on a couple of times, hasn't he? And he's doing a fantastic job. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Next, we have beauty pageant winner, Miss Wales, 1972. I was going to say Chris. It's Jason Davis. How you doing, Jace?
All right, Boyle.
Good. How your anger level, not at the game, but the Arsenal fans in general, out of 10, how high is it at the moment?
Oh, Janu Ceylan, Wenger out already. Fucking hell. Oh, my life. Do you know what? Okay, guys. I am annoyed and I am upset, when you got 10 changes, you know what? Oh, go on, Royal Zach. Well done. 20 million for the pair. Fucking hell. You're flying, Zach.
Chase, I only asked you how are you. I didn't ask you for your life story, did I?
I made the mistake of going on Twitter tonight, and I knew I shouldn't have.
It's never a good thing.
I may have a little rant later.
Oh, lovely. And finally, the captain of the good ship ABW Radio. It's Mr. K Carpenter. That's with a K, not a C. It's Chris. How you doing?
Good evening, Daniel. The beard is looking, homeless, if I'm honest.
Oh, I was going to lean forward and share everyone then. Look at it. Ooh, David Bellamy.
Did you enjoy the little picture I sent you on WhatsApp last night? Did you enjoy that? Yeah. Might pop that one out in the social media lounge later on.
The Offspring got one of my passport photos from 1986 when I was all Della sold up with multicoloured trainers. I had my kangaroos on and my Hawaiian T-shirt thing. And no, that's not right, is it? It was a floral thing, but it's white and a pocket. Anyway, yes, so she had a picture of me like that and a picture of me in my last passport from 10 years ago. And Chris made a very funny comment. Anyway, we're not here to talk about passport photos. We are here to talk about tonight's game. It ended Arsenal 0, Southampton 2. First of all, I want your summary of the game and we shall give it to the victor, Ross.
Long's a cunt.
He is. If you're playing against him, absolutely. But if he's on your side, then you love him for that. So I'm really, really happy with that. Obviously, we've got a run of 9 games in 30 days, and this was the fourth or the fifth. So obviously, a lot of changes need to be made, and a lot of the kids got a chance. So I don't know why McQueen was so far upfield. But, you know, he got a good chance today, good shout. And there were some very good performances all round from us. Defensively, we were absolutely fantastic. And for once in our lives, we actually took the chances that came our way. And it's the start of now a massive, massive week, because obviously we've now got the draw in a couple of minutes. I'm desperately hoping for Hull. And then next Thursday, we have Hapoel Beersheva in a must-win. If we can win that, we're through to the knockout stages of the Europa League. So this is the first time we've made the semi-final since 1986. first major trophy we're with a decent shout of since 76, or I suppose 2003 when you lot beat us at Wembley or wherever it was, the Millennium Stadium. I don't know, it's ages ago.
That was there. Shit game 1-0. Wish I hadn't a goal.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic, was it? But either way, this is the start of a really big 7 days for us. And to have got this is a little surreal. So yeah, it's a fantastic result. Fantastic performance all around from us. But yeah, I don't want to say too much. You guys were very nice to me last time I was on, and we lost that game 2-1. So I'm going to leave it there.
Chris, do you agree with your fellow podder, Ross's? I nearly called him Josh then. That's terrible, isn't it?
Already.
It's a little bit like when people say, what things do you like? My brain says, I'm going to say, astronomy. My brain goes, say astrology. Like, I like astrology. No, fuck it. It's astrology's bollocks. It's astronomy I like.
And that, boys and girls, is a little insight into Danny's mind.
Yeah, my brain is just torturing me all day long. Telling me to put my fingers in places fingers shouldn't be going. Anyway, what was your thoughts on the game?
Good grief. There's an image. Yeah. Ross is bang on. I didn't watch the game because I don't watch streams. We all know this. I listened to it, and from what I could hear and from all the comments from people both pro and against Arsenal, judging by Twitter, Saints were a better side, completely dominated, should have beaten Arsenal by more. I think they had three or four very presentable chances second half. Obviously, we'll touch on the Arsenal players in a bit with regards to performances or lack thereof. But I'm with Jace 100% on this one. It's the League Cup. I'm not really that bothered. For me, this competition has ever since it became the competition no one cared about. I enjoy seeing the youngsters, and it's nice to get players back to fitness. Other than that, you know, I'm not fussed. One thing I will say is, like, not just because we know Ross, but I hope Southampton win it because it'd be nice to see a different name on it. And let's be honest, nobody wants to see the Scouse twats win it, do they? So, or the United London Supporters Club 2016 either. So, no, hopefully Saints win it. Part of me hopes that there's a Liverpool United final, but I want Southampton to win it. So it's kind of, I'm a bit torn on the two.
Oh, yes, that's very good. I'm just reading some of the comments. James has put 5 minutes in and the radio show is more fun than a match.
And Wilesack, I don't know what you're talking about.
And Wilesack predicted the result before the match even started. I actually predicted 2-0 in the group, and I think I picked Shane Long to score. I did originally have Austin, but Southampton weren't taking it overly serious. Right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you ready? Here he is, Mr. Davis. What do you think of the game?
Look, I am upset about it, okay? I don't like losing. It may be the tin pot cup, right? It may be the tin pot cup, but I do expect fucking better from the team. But as soon as we saw the lineup, I don't know how many changes Southampton made. I know, as Ross said, they played a few of the kids, but we haven't had a settled midfield all season. He keeps on chopping and changing the middle of the park, which is where you win and lose games. So I don't know what Arsene Wenger is expecting. The spine of the team has changed. Gabriel and Holding at the back, I thought, you know, Holding's a cracking young prospect, but you just changing them in. Then you've got Elneny and Coughlin, two of the most negative, midfielders we have.
Least creative.
Negative, to be honest. Really? Coughlin's a destroyer. He's a destroyer. That's what he is. Okay? Then you've got Ramsey at 10. Now, there's all this bullshit about Ramsey wants to play 10. He doesn't play 10 for Wales. He plays a more advanced midfield role. That's what he does. Bale plays the free role. That's how it works. So, you know, this myth of Ramsey wanting to play 10, it's a new position again this season for him. I don't know what we're expecting. Perez has just come back from injury up top. Jeff on the wing, what, it's his third, fourth game this season, all in the EFL Cup. And it will be on the other side. And it just, you know, it's a cobbled together team. Arsene Wenger has not taken it fucking seriously. Okay, and we've got what we deserved. We've been outplayed on the day. I'm fucking furious. I'm not happy. But not one of those players played well tonight. You know, when Xhaka came on, didn't make a difference. But there's this bullshit here now of, you know, we're going to slag off everybody. You know, Ramsey's shit, Coughlin's shit, let's fucking sell them all, Jenkinson's shit. They're what we've got. We haven't got anything else. I don't see people slagging off Mesut Ozil when, let's be honest, the last few games he's been bang average. Fucking bang average. He's not, you know, he's not done anything spectacular. Now, we'll leave that go. And everybody, oh no, we miss Santi. Oh Christ, let's worship at the let's worship at the feet of Saint Santi. You know, it's as if we never lost a game with him playing. Let's have a bit of realism. Okay. You know, we've put out a cobble together side and we've had our asses handed to us on a plate. We've got what we deserve tonight. And unfortunately, Arsene Wenger picked the team tonight and the players have got a long hard look at themselves. But I don't know what we expected from him either. You know, what do you expect from a guy who's just come back after 4 or 5 weeks out in Perez? What do you expect when you're chopping and changing the midfield every week? What do you expect when you take the fucking spine out to the side? I do not know.
But looking at the positives from this game, I'm just looking at Liverpool last season when they played the semi-finals of the League Cup. They played it on the 5th and the 26th of January. This season, our 5th, well, then we'd have to move our game away game against Bournemouth and we'd have to move our home game against Burnley. So, on a positive note...
Dan, we're Arsenal Football Club, okay? We should be competing on all fronts.
I'd rather us not, though. I mean, the players have had a run of three games in the League Cup. That's given them a little bit of a first-team action. We've got players coming back from injury, like Jenkinson and like you were saying, Perez.
Yeah, Jenkinson's taken one of the biggest slatings ever tonight. When I had a quick look on Twitter and some of the stuff. So and it's almost only Twitter and shouldn't think. But, you know, this guy doesn't proclaim himself to be world-class. You know, I've seen the tweets, oh, that's the last time he'll represent the Arsenal. Well, no offence. Bellerin's out.
They were playing at the weekend.
Bellerin's out. Okay. Yeah. He's injured.
Tabucci's fucked again.
Tabucci's fucked again. Okay. Maitland-Niles, that's his second game.
And he's not a right back.
Exactly. So I don't know what people expect. I don't know what people expect. You know, let's get a fucking grip. You know, we saw the team that was put out. Did if anybody seriously expected much from that?
Did you predict a win, Chris?
No, I went for a 2-2 draw.
What prediction did you have, Jace?
I was hoping for a win, wasn't I? But I predicted last week when I saw the team.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, I just thought, oh, fuck. Because we know Southampton play decent football.
Hmm. Ross, what's your thoughts on what Jason's had to say? Do you think he's given saying that you won the game because we'd put out a second string team, or do you think you deserve?
No. I'm not saying that we don't know what would have happened no matter what team we'd have put out, but from an Arsenal perspective, you know, that team was never going to go out there and pull up sticks. You know, it was never going to do anything spectacular. I don't know how many changes.
Ross,
they played this off the park.
Ross, were you more confident of a win as soon as you saw the lineup than you would have been if you'd have played against our first full-strength first team?
Absolutely.
Did you see it and think, there you go, we're through to the semi-final?
Yeah. I thought it would have been a bigger shock if that Arsenal team had knocked us out, personally. I think the thing is that the Arsenal, as a big club fighting in the Premier League title race and the Champions League, and obviously everyone prefers the FA Cup to the League Cup, I think there is a tendency amongst fans of big clubs and the big clubs themselves to look at these games and think everyone rotates their squad this much, you know, and Southampton don't get into this position very often. The last three times we've been in the quarterfinal, we've been knocked out against Sheffield United, and Liverpool gave us a 6-1 last year. Like I said, this is the first semi-final we've managed to get to since 86 in this cup. So I think there's a sense that in this competition, everyone puts out below their second string. And Southampton didn't. You know, we wanted to take this seriously. We're in this to win it. And that's been our mentality since day one. So we made, I think, 7 changes from the weekend. But even those 7 changes, Shane Long started. He didn't start on the weekend, so that counts as a change. But Shane Long is not a drastic change. You know, that's not a major shake-up of the way we play. Or it's not substituting a dangerous player for a less dangerous player. It's just two different types. So I was much more confident when I saw the squad. And like I say, I honestly think that there is a sense among big clubs and big fans that this cup is a throwaway. So everyone just makes the rotations. But we were in the quarterfinal against an Arsenal side that was likely to make a lot of changes. Why weren't we going to try and take it?
Has the draw just been made? Because I see your comment. You said, fuck this draw. What's the draw? You got Liverpool.
We got Liverpool. Fuck. The one team I didn't want.
Don't worry about that, Ross. They're just a bunch of bin-dipping scumbags. You'll be all right.
This is the bin they dip in, so...
It's like going back in time for you, isn't it?
Good. I was going to say, it's like Liverpool versus Liverpool.
What's the other leg? It's the other game. Is it Hull v...
Man United, Hull,
it's
yeah.
Man United, Hull, yeah.
You know, that's what they want, don't you? They want a Liverpool-Man United final. That's why it's hot balls and warm balls and cold balls.
I tell you what, just watching Mourinho being interviewed on Sky, he's a miserable cunt, isn't he? Look at his stupid little face. Like, oh, I'm bus 141 and I'm miserable. I live in a hotel. Oh, fuck off, you.
Right, Chris, were you disappointed with the lineup, or was that what you expected? Or are you a little bit like me, where I want our younger players to get a chance to play the first team players, and I don't want us going into January with a congested fixture list?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, this, because I was listening to Arsenal Player, and Stephen Hughes was on there, and I think he made quite an interesting point where he said that it seems to have changed this competition for us, because a few years ago, you remember we got the run, we got to the final, and we used a lot of the young players. We got 2 finals, in fact. And it was always sort of seen as the breeding ground for the younger players. And as football's progressed and moved on, it seems now that we are more using it for getting players fit again, like Jay said, with Perez coming in tonight and a few other players getting 90 minutes. I've got to be honest, I prefer it when we go a bit more balls out and just throw the kids out there, because I think it's the making of some of those lads. And, you know, you see, like, obviously we've got through Bellerin, who would have started at this level. Iwobi this time last year was coming through this level. I'm kind of more of a fan of blooding them, because I think when you chop and change with so many mixture of first teamers, squad players and youth players, there isn't that gel. There isn't that sort of continuity with the side. I think you can change the goalkeeper and that's not too much of an issue. But when we essentially change the back four, with reserves and first team, and you've got a couple of young players in front of them, it just doesn't really gel for me. So part of me would almost rather see maybe an experienced midfielder, one experienced centre back, and the rest just sort of being kids, and just give them their wings. The one thing I would say is, I guess Arsene Wenger would have looked at this game and thought, well, we're playing a Premier League side. We're in a quarter final. We should give it a little bit more respect and play a stronger side. But I don't know. I mean, it looks like apparently Elneny was sick tonight. Pre-game, in fact, apparently he was a bit ill. So it's a strange one to play him. But I mean, that happens all the time, and every level of football players feel a bit ill, and you take a chance, put them out there. But it did seem like a bit of a risk. Coquelin's clearly one of Arsene Wenger's favourites. It's a bit risky, and obviously Xhaka had to play a lot of the game. You know, if we'd have taken a couple of injuries, I think Jenkinson's injured as well. I think maybe somebody said that.
I don't know why he went off.
I mean, Jace is right. He didn't have a good game tonight, but
nobody did, Chris. Nobody.
No, exactly. And I think if you're honest, and if you ask Carl Jenkinson, you said, look, are you an Arsenal level player at the moment? He would probably be the first to say, no, I'm not. I'm a backup right back.
But Chris, in all fairness, the boy, he's just come back for a long time out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And has a few. And like you say, Jeff Rennie Adelaide is a young kid who's, you know, is making his way. I saw some people slating Ashley Maitland-Niles coming on. Oh, he's come on. What's this lad got? He's shit. I mean, Jesus. I think some of our fans are...
Oh, hold up, yeah. Zach. I fucking hope Jenks is injured. Come on.
That's...
And who are we going to play at right back?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Let's play the T-Lady at right back, is it?
It's a ridiculous thing to say.
Fuck's sake. Talking about the
line. No. This is part of the reason. What the fuck is wrong with people? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Everybody wants to win all the time, no matter the opposition. Yeah, that's what people expect.
We've lost 2 games all season. We've lost two games all season. Jenkinson's come back from a year out, and you hope he's injured again? What a cunt.
And who's going to give a fuck about this result if we turn West Ham over on Saturday? Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say a thing. Not a thing.
I think people have got a right to be a little bit annoyed. When you look at the starting 11...
You can be annoyed, Danny. You can be annoyed.
But yeah, hold on, wait a second.
Don't wish injury on our own player.
No, I'm not going to. No, he's wrong to say that. But you look at the starting 11. Seven of our starting 11 can be considered themselves first-team players. And only really, really Martinez and the Jeff are the only two there that should not expect another call-up again this season.
Name me those seven, though, Danny. Who do you think, when you say first team, do you mean first team squad or
first team squad? Well, okay, Gibbs, first team squad, and Gabriel is falling down the ranks of Arsenal. Yeah. He ain't got much of a future at the clubs. Jenkinson only because of injury. Elneny and Coquelin because, well, they are. Ramsey because he's one of our best players. Iwobi and Perez could maybe be seen on the subs bench. But listen to this for the Opta ratings. Martinez, 6.5. Elneny, 5.7. Coquelin, 6.2. Ramsey, 6.1. Perez, 6.2. And then, unbelievably, shots on goal. We had 17. Southampton had 13. Just looking how many were on target. We had 5. They had 4.
Yeah, but Dan, not being funny, okay? We're taking pot shots outside the box, okay?
Yeah, that's
It's Fraser Foster in goal, okay?
One of the best goalkeepers in the league.
Yeah, this is the guy who Barcelona fans called the wall because they couldn't breach him, okay? You know, this is the thing now. You know, we had to work better movement, okay? We had to work, you know, you can't play Ramsey at 10 for the first time this season, okay, and expect miracles. You can't play Lucas Perez up top coming back from injury and expect miracles. What the fuck do we expect from these guys? And what the point, what does Arsene Wenger expect from them? Okay, you know, we looked a little bit more affected with Ramsey and Xhaka in the middle. Okay? But you know, the game had gone by then.
Yeah, true. Let's move on to the first goal. 13 minutes I put down here. Superb ball from Yoshida, which I think, is he your right back, Ross?
No, he's our shaky centre back.
Is he?
Don't ask him that, Danny. He'll go off.
I tell you what.
Right of the pitch.
That was the worst booking ever.
Oh, already did Danny Wobbly.
He just ran into him, he couldn't stop.
Not a yellow. Anyway, so Yoshida was on their kind of right-hand side of the pitch. A lovely long ball, which is about 3.5 miles long, crossed it down to the left wing for Bertrand. Bertrand had a shot. Now this, I've watched this over and over, and I'm still not sure what happens. I think the player that Bertrand gave it to, he had a shot, and it hit Holding, and then it bounced off of Holding, and then Jordi Klaassi pings it in from about 15 yards out. Ross, were you jumping up and down and screaming like a teenage girl at a Bross concert, or?
Yeah, roughly.
were we unlucky to concede a goal that good? Because we tend to concede quite a few of these in recent years. People just have pot shots.
Well, yeah, Nathaniel Klein got one against you a couple of years back. Amazing volley he scored.
Can we get this guy off?
He's kicking us around down, for fuck's sake.
Fucking hell, Ross.
Sorry, you just reminded me. Apologies.
There was no need for that.
Yeah, go on. Talk us through the goal then, Ross.
Well, you've summed it up quite nicely. I think the thing that was nice about it was nice for me anyway. Klaassi is a player that I really like watching, but he always takes those kinds of shots. He's always trying to drive one in from just outside the area, and he's always missing. He's always putting them well over or well wide, and finally he got one. It had to be against you. Of course it did. But yeah, he finally got one. You couldn't have stopped it. It was absolutely lethal. So I was really really optimistic for the game after that, because obviously with Van Dijk at the back in a makeshift front four for Arsenal, I didn't really see too many opportunities for Arsenal to score. And I know how good we are defensively. So as soon as that one went in, I kind of thought, yeah, I don't really worry about this game anymore.
Chris, do you think we were hard done by to concede that goal, or do you think it was a goal of unlucky? Or was it of our own making? Is there anything we could have done to not concede the goal like that, apart from pick our first team?
Well, the first thing I'm just going to say before I say any of that is Bross. Who?
Were you a Brossette?
Can imagine, can't you? Just imagine.
I was more of a bread man myself.
A what,
no,
man?
A bread man.
I thought you said Fred man.
Well, that too. Christ, there's an image. It's a good goal, to be fair. Jordi Klaassi's a player I really like. I have liked for a while. The biggest problem he had was he had a couple of injuries in his final days, and it sort of set him back a little bit. And I think he was, no disrespect to Southampton, I thought he was a player that could have played at quite a high level. The only problem he had is almost a bit like Xhaka, he had a bit of a disciplinary issue and had a habit of getting himself stupidly booked and sent off, a little bit ill-disciplined. But he's a very, very good technical player. I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying he's represented the Dutch national side before, which isn't a great feat right now, in truth. But he's a good player. It was a very clean strike. Defending was questionable. I am one of those people that has severe worries about Gabriel, not just in how he plays the game, but positionally.
His body language, he looks like he's given up, doesn't he? I think he realised he's so far down the pecking order now, he's no longer even third choice. I reckon that we'll probably pick Holding above him for third.
I think he has. I think he has a sort of a touch of the Johan Jurus about him, you know, where he starts and he comes in, everyone goes, oh, a new signing, shiny, and it's great. And then you see him play a bit and you go, oh. I think my concern with him is he doesn't look like he quite fits. He always looks like he's a bit lost. And, you know, he might come good. I'm not going to bury the guy, but I worry about him positionally. And for that goal, he seemed to be caught out of position in the build-up to the attack, the shot that was blocked, and obviously when the shot came in, he was nowhere to be seen. So, yeah, no blame at Martinez either. It's one of those. It's a bit of a rocket. I don't think Peter Cech would have saved it either. So he's disappointing. But that gave Saints a perfect platform and, you know, fair play. Good goal. And so it's just our defending worries me a bit.
Laughing at your cat.
I know, she sat there, like literally just sat in front of the screen.
Having a good old look. Jace, your thoughts on the goal. Would you agree with Chris that we were unlucky and there's not much we can do?
Oh, yeah, I mean...
That says it all, really.
I was surprised. I was surprised that if you're going to play Coughlin and Lenny, they would outplayed in midfield. We didn't get any tempo going. So, and when we didn't have the ball, we seemed disjointed. But again, you've had the spine taken out the side. There's no press from the front. For any of the front four, there's no press. There's no real pace there either. And, you know, Perez just come back from injury. So, when you start defending from the top, we didn't do it properly. So the midfield is struggling, and I wonder where Gabriel goes at times, but that's the way it is.
Straight after that, I've put here lots of pressure, lots of possession, lots of sideways and backwards passing led to bugger all. That kind of sums up most of the first half for us. Then we move on to the 38th minute. Bertrand scored. Gabriel let Bouffal, I think Gabriel's on the left-hand side of our right-back position. Gabriel let Bouffal get the ball to Bertrand, and then he managed, it was a little bit like football pinball, he managed to get the ball through of our defence, and Holding, God bless him, made a last-ditch effort to stop him, but it didn't happen. And placed the ball bottom right-hand corner. Ross, again, where was that a bit of a defensive error that led to the goal? And were you happy that that you managed to score another goal in the same sort of way as the other one? That's the first goal in the same part of the corner, same kind of build up to the goal. What was your thoughts?
I was
about
more
that?
Surprised that I actually managed to find the bottom of the corner. Because when I saw it, I thought Bertrand's touch was far too heavy. I thought it was going to bounce into someone's path. And I'm a big fan of Rob Holding because I watched him a lot in the Championship for Bolton last year. And one of the biggest criticisms they had of him there was that he stepped out of the line at the wrong times. And I think he was a little bit slow, if I'm going to be critical of him. But at the same time, is there much he can do? I don't know. Maybe if he just slides in, maybe he gets a touch on it at least. But I thought Bertrand's touch was really heavy, and I was really surprised to see it go in the back of the net. So it was kind of a minute of, wow, that's actually gone in, rather than of actual celebration. But as soon as the second one in, I just thought, I haven't seen enough of Arsenal so far to say that this is going to be anything other than a win. I thought Iwobi was the most dangerous looking of your front four, but even then he didn't do anything particularly dangerous against us. So yeah, on the basis of the first 38 minutes, when that Bertrand goal somehow went in, I just kind of sat back and thought, wow, we're going to be in the semi-final here. So yes, I mean, if you're going to be critical of the Arsenal defending, I think someone should have put a boot in because it was a really heavy touch from Bertrand, but can't take anything away from Bertrand, for me at least. We haven't been taking our chances lately, and he finally got a chance. He finally takes a snapshot, and luckily for us, it goes in.
Yes, very true. Thinking about the game, I know there are some websites that will give you, they'll give you the goal and they'll put crosses where all your shots were. Chris, was it just me or did nearly every single shot they have go for the bottom right-hand corner of the goal? I'm just thinking as I was saying that. So the goal is left to their right.
From what I heard, yeah. Again, not
Of course,
seeing...
you didn't see the game, did you?
Yeah, no. Not seeing, it's hard to judge.
I'm trying to find it now, but... Can't.
But on that, that's sensible. That's good shooting. I mean, you know, maybe we'll come on to our finishing, but it's all right saying we had a lot of possession, didn't create a lot with it. We actually did create, but then we thrashed at shots. I think there was one, was it Oxlade-Chamberlain late on? A player with more composure in that position, side foots it in. He just absolutely smashes the living shit out of it and clears the stadium practically. And it's like, you know, that's decision making. That's not technical ability or skill. Yes,
but yeah, but Chris. That's been happening all season to us.
Oh yeah.
You know, this hasn't changed from anything that has gone before. It doesn't matter who you've had up front. You know, in front of goal recently, you know, we flattered to deceive. You know, this sort of area of you know, or it would be different if so and so was there or so and so. No, it wouldn't, because it hasn't been all season. You know, we've not created anything real, really clear cut tonight.
Ten corners.
Was it the Ox chance is the only really clear cut?
I think Perez or Lucas had one at about the 50-ish minute, somewhere like that. We had a fantastic run from about the 48th minute to about the 53rd, 54th minute where we were really attacking and we had quite a lot of chances. And yeah, Forster showed why he's one of the best goalkeepers in England, if not the world.
He's a great keeper, but you
fantastic.
Know, this is a continuity thing with us, because we keep on chopping and changing the midfield. You know, we're not getting any real traction there. You know, we have flattered to deceive, but you know that happened in the Burnley match. In the Swansea game, we created yet let in. It's been quite strange, hasn't it?
Can I just ask Jason a question? Do you worry about this midfield issue? Whether you're, and you know, I agree with you. You know, just saying, oh, we miss Santi. You know, yeah, that's a fact, but that's not the only thing. You can't just put it down to one player.
Yeah, but it's the biggest load of bollocks ever. Of course, we're going to miss a player of his quality. Okay, of course we are, but you know. You know, taking aside all the sort of nonsense of, oh, I like this player, oh, I like that player, you know, we've lost big games and we've lost pretty fucking, you know, poor games, which we should have won with Santi and the team.
Yeah, agreed. But what I really wanted to ask you was if you worry... No, that's all right. Do you worry that... Since Santi's been injured, we've had at least three, maybe four different combinations of midfielders, which suggests to me that Arsene's not sure what the best way around it is. Does that worry you when we're going into a London derby on Saturday that's going to be all guts, all blood, all thunder, and we don't really know what our best midfield combination is? Do you worry about that?
Yeah, it really concerns me, because the biggest issue is we've never played the same midfield for consecutive games. You know, unless I'm wrong, we've not played the same midfield two games in the trot.
Because Ramsey got injured first game of the season, so that was one out.
Maybe he is managing Ramsey's injury, I don't know. But then there's Xhaka, what's going on there? You know, you can't be playing, you know, Elneny and Coughlin together on a regular basis. You know, Borough United tonight, it keeps on proving the point. But unless you're going to give these guys a run of games in a position, then, you know, it's pointless. It's like putting Santi on the wing. He hasn't got the athleticism for it anymore. You know, did he ever really? You know, I'm not sure.
His first season he did, yeah. He scored about 14 goals.
Yeah, but he was playing 10, wasn't he? A little bit different, you know. You've got to get up and down. You know, people you know, we look at the left-hand side. because we lack pace with the Wobi and Monreal, people are target. You know, if somebody's got a flyer on the right back, they're just targeting the left hand side consistently. You know, and yet we're expecting players to come in, and it's unfair on Elneny and Coughlin to play them together. It's really unfair on them because they are what they are. You know, Elneny's a good link man. He's 7 out of 10. He's never going to be 8. Coughlin's a destroyer, but if he's playing him further up the park, he just gets bypassed all the time, and he can make as many tackles as he wants. He's just going to get bypassed by a clever passer like the Carricks of this world. You know, they bypass him, bang, all of a sudden he's ineffective. You know, and even if he does win the ball further up the park, he can't distribute it that well.
I think another thing we've got to take into consideration, I'm just looking here at whoscored.com, number of times we were dispossessed. The Jeff on the right-hand side, 4 times. Iwobi, 3 times. Ramsey, 3 times. Jenkinson's, 3 times. And then Cock, Holding, and Perez, 1. Chris, do you think that is why we are struggling so much in recent games? Because the players keep giving the ball away. I know I made a note that in about the 50th minute again, we had 10 or 12 passes in our own half, like defender, defender, back, like that. And then as soon as Ramsey got it, he passed it forward. He gave it to Iwobi. Iwobi ran off to make a run and straight away got the ball taken off him. Then they come down the other end and had another attack at goal.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we're going into tactics probably a bit too much. I think... If there's one criticism I would have of the way Arsenal sets up the side, and yeah, newsflash, just like Jeff Arsenal, there are things I do get a bit annoyed about with Arsenal. And the one of the things I would say annoys me slightly with Arsenal is that there is a tendency to be inflexible tactically at times for certain individual teams. And if you look at how Southampton set up, Ross would probably be able to tell you better than I would, but I bet Southampton were licking their lips when they arrived, because they know they rock up, they know what formation we're going to play in, they know that even our two holding midfielders, which is what they're there to do, will bob on, and there's little protection for them. And it worries me that we don't have the nous to think about that. And when you're playing in a midfield against a midfield like Southampton's today, granted, like Ross was saying, yeah, it might not be 100% the first choice Southampton midfield, but it's flexible, it's fluid. You've got a player like Bouffal, who I know a lot about from his days in France, who's technically very good and draws people to him. But then alongside that, you had the likes of Classy and Davis, who are just going to sit and protect. And I saw a lot of Arsenal fans getting on, you know, Southampton, oh, they're this, they're boring, they're just sat here, they've just come for a draw. You know, no, they didn't. What they did is they put two proper shielding players in front of the back four and said to Arsenal, right, we don't really rate what you've got, so we'll just sit here and spray passes about. We'll let the creative players in front of them pick you off, and then we'll defend. And that's what they did, and they did it perfectly well. That's not defensive. Same with Middlesbrough. When they came, people moaned about them. We had chances in that game. We didn't take them.
Yeah, but bear me a second, Chris, okay? When we played on the counter-attacking City a couple of seasons ago against Bayern last season, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's okay for us to do it, isn't it? But yeah. this is the thing, this lack of traction in midfield. You know, I haven't seen Ozil the last couple of games. Against Ludogorets, other than the goal, he did nothing. Mm. You know, he'll always run off the ball and, you know, give you some runs and what have you, but other than that, he was anonymous until that goal. What a wonderful goal, yes. But as you know, as we're saying, the lack of continuity in the middle with Arsene Wenger at the moment is costing us. People talking about Xhaka not knowing the other Vieira player, blah, blah, blah. We don't know, do we? He's not playing continuous games.
No.
He may not be. He may not be. Right? Mm. But how are any of our midfielders at the moment supposed to sort of lay your claim down when they're being chopped and changed all the time?
Mm. Ross, I'll ask you this question because I know Danny, you might not know about this, but Ross and I spoke on our podcast at the start of the season. Saints didn't get off to a wonderful start. You had a lot of your supporters criticising that Claude Puel was playing the diamond. And you had a lot of your fans saying, oh, this isn't working, that isn't working, blah, blah, blah. And they've all gone quiet. So do you see some parallels in our supporters to yours? Or do you think that from an outsider looking in, do you think our supporters are like beyond bipolar? How do you sort of see it based on your experience?
I knew the longer I stayed on this podcast that one day you'd ask me about Arsenal fans and you'd turn them all on me.
Or is it just general football fan, modern football fans? Yeah, they all expect to win every single game, no matter who they're playing, home or away.
The top clubs certainly do. I think Arsenal
are a top club.
Well, yeah, Arsenal's still a top club. Absolutely, Arsenal's still a top club.
Four times out of the last seven times in all competitions we've played you.
I don't care. You're still a top club. For me, Arsenal are the most enviable club in world football for the consistent production of good talent. For the fact you can afford to bring in and attract players of the quality of Mesut Ozil and Granit Xhaka and Alexis Sanchez. The fact you're always in the top four, the fact you're always involved in cups. Okay, you haven't won a great deal in the past 10 years, a couple of FA Cups, and the league's eluded you. You are one of the most enviable clubs in Europe. And it does sometimes boggle me to sit and listen to some Arsenal fans and hear them say that it's a disaster and that Wenger's outdated and this and that. And I don't know, it just feels like sometimes Arsenal fans, among other clubs, don't get me wrong, but Arsenal fans sometimes don't understand how good they've got it. And when Wenger goes, it'll hit, you know, and we saw the same with Man United, and it will hit. And I'm sorry, but it's coming eventually. So just enjoy Wenger while you've got him, you know.
Open that Pandora's box.
This is the thing. He needs to go sooner or later. Okay, he's going to have to.
Absolutely. Right?
Okay, but
he's been saying that for a decade.
No, but you know, it's quite strange, okay? The vacuum that's going to be there, you know, is going to be horrendous. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, you see it, Ross, but do you see, you know, does a big name have to come in first to sort of steady the ship and say, don't worry, like an Ancelotti-type manager, and say, don't worry, I'm here? Or do you get an up-and-coming, a Tuchel type or whatever, to come in and say, right, you know, we're going to put a team around you to really come in? Because I just see whoever's next man up in that position, it's a poison chalice.
It absolutely is. It was the same with Man United. It was always difficult to replace Sir Alex Ferguson. It was always going to be a case of after the Lord Mayor show. And I think we now understand how good Sir Alex Ferguson was, considering how they've been doing the past couple of years. So it's a tough call. I think the thing you've got to do is, I know Simon was doing a blog about this the other day, you've got to look at Man United and you've got to look at the fact that they tried a quote-unquote young and up-and-coming manager in David Moyes, one that they thought could come in, immediately carry on the continuity and just keep things steady. And it just didn't work. I think the thing you've really got to go with short-term, a two-year deal, for an experienced manager, and then do all your due diligence and try and find someone to then come in afterwards. The main thing after a shock as big as losing a manager of 20 plus years is making sure that the season after is still steady, you know? And I think for me, I'd be looking at an experienced manager to have for 2-3 years maybe, and then bring in someone new for the long term. But it's tough, you know? Football has changed since you took on Arsene Wenger, and managers go very quickly, and tactics and formations are now all about glass cannons and winning things quickly and earning points. So it's a completely different market. And what I'm hoping is that Arsenal have done their due diligence and know who they're going to bring in and already have targets. But it's tricky. If it was me in charge, I would go for experience.
Bear me a second.
I don't think we have any idea who we're going to bring in.
Sorry, mate. John Zeb has just said that, in fairness, Fergie never prepared for the future, left an ageing squad, blah, 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 blah.
Last ounce out of those fuckers to win the title. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, but that squad won the league and he chose a successor. Remember, the chosen one. Mm. You know, I mean...
And then disappeared.
Yeah, it wasn't just the fact of Fergie leaving as well. You had, what was the guy's name? What was the chief exec's name?
Is it Woodward?
Yeah, Woodward came in. That was his first season's a lot. But look, back to the game. I mean, I kind of look at tonight and I kind of think, you know, we'd gone 18, 19 games and beaten. It was always going to come a time when we're going to get beaten.
I don't think this counts as properly unbeaten.
It is. Hold up, yeah. We've counted the other EFL Cup games as unbeaten.
Yeah, true.
Okay, you can't have it both ways, you know. You know, Arsene Wenger, us, the fans, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know, it's like you know, not having a pop at Ozil for a poor performance, yet having a pop at Jenkinson. You have to be sort of measured in that aspect of it.
Some players just get a buy because of who they are.
You know, Koscielny, you know, as much as he's a wonderful player, you know, against PSG, he's in the fucking D. He's in the centre circle, sorry. You know, and I don't see people having a go at him, you know. I listened to another podcast this morning. I'm not going to mention names.
Executive box wankers. That's all we're going to say.
Fuck me.
I didn't know Raj did a podcast. I didn't mean that, Raj. Don't kill me.
I have never seen, you know, the lack of objectivity towards Theo Walcott. Horrendous. Theo Walcott is the only player I have really gone for in an Arsenal squad because I never felt he gave us 100%. And this season, to be fair to the boy, he's turned it around. But you can't wait 10 years for every player, can you?
No, anyway.
You can't do that. But, you know, it's unbelievable the fact that, you know, you look up and down this timeline, you know, is Lala Lem's the dog's bollocks? No, he's not. He's proven nothing.
His career at Arsenal is on its ass.
I don't think he's got the mental edge. The boy.
It's called the Zelalem Phenomenon.
Yeah.
Some people overrate as well. And look, I'm as guilty as anybody with this. But people say about players and they get excited about players.
Yeah.
And before you know it, everybody on, you know, the social media. You think back to our day, Jace and Danny, we would be checking teletext for transfer news. We would, wouldn't we? Playing bamboos or checking for transfer
news. That's how we found out if we bought anyone, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Whereas nowadays, and as I say, I'm as guilty as anyone. You know, I'll hear about an exciting kid from Marseille. You know, there's a lad at Monaco who's Mbappe, who could be the next Thierry Henry. He's that good. But the trouble is, we see these players at that level and we think, oh, they're going to be absolutely amazing. We've done it with the Jeff. You know, these kids are kids. And for everyone that gets through and becomes a, you know, sorry to say it, a Cesc Fabregas, there will be 100 David Bentleys. And some of our fans just seem to think that by bringing in the young players, oh, bring this kid through, they're not good enough. You know, there's a reason Zelalem went to Rangers for a season because he wasn't big enough, strong enough, experienced enough. And, you know, I think it's harder nowadays than even 5 years ago to bring through a quality kid, you know, and that's where, again, Southampton have done it brilliantly because they've got a manager who's not afraid to throw a player in. But what did he have to lose by throwing in the lad Sims at the weekend? Not a lot, because Saints are not going to spend 50 million quid on a player like Arsenal are expected to.
But again, it's a really competitive world out there, isn't it? Mujib, whatever, you know, somebody made team of the Euros. Mesut Ozil didn't, so if that's ending a goal by, you know, it gets pointless, doesn't it? Because we look at Zlatan at the moment and he's undoubtedly a talent, and you'd have thought the year at Rangers would have done him a lot of good, but he just seems he just seems a little bit nervous.
Should have had a second year.
But
he still looks like a kid, doesn't he?
Yeah, but is it a case now, and this is a question to all you guys, okay? So these guys are brought up in the academy system, okay? And it's, you know, they're wrapped in cotton wool and, you know, our academy's had its up and downs over the years. But if you've had to fight it out, you know, if you come from, you know, when they're in the academy system, you know, they don't want for much, do they? I know you mentioned this the other day, Chris, but there was a great pod by Ask Blog with Stephen Bradley, which was really interesting. One of the best pods I've heard all year. It was really interesting. But if you're coming from nothing, from, you know, whatever, you look at the amount of foreign players and African players that are in this country now, surely the hunger is more and you've got a bit more of an edge about you. So, you know, with the amount of competition out there, it's really tough for these guys.
Absolutely, yeah. Ross, let's ask Ross on the academy, because Saints obviously famous for their academy, and there's a program actually I'm going to watch about that next week on Premier League Guide. I think it
we
is.
We were talking with about Ross because Ross was saying that Koeman didn't give a fuck about the youth players, and now Everton fans are moaning. I know this is an Arsenal thing, but it's going to get back to the Arsenal youth, and now Everton fans are moaning about the same thing. And tonight he showed by bringing on the young players. And that's the kind of thing that we'd like to see from Arsenal. But like Jason was saying, we don't have to do that because we don't need to. We've got the money to buy the players already.
Mm. And also, like, Ross, from your perspective, I think it was Matt Letizier that said publicly, he basically just said, if you're good enough at this club, you'll play. And in fairness, I think Arsene Wenger has been one of those managers that has always given an opportunity to kids that he sees as good enough. Whereas you look at someone like Mourinho, who kills careers, you know, that's not done. So do you think that, as a Saints fan, do you think that there's more chance of you getting through these kids because of the club size you are, the finances you've got? Do you think there's less pressure on the kids coming through your system than there is a club of our size? Do you think that's a fair argument, or do you think it's just a completely different setup?
It does play a factor. Obviously, it does, because the demand for success on us isn't so great. We could afford to put Sam McQueen in and not have a third choice left back, because, you know, it's not expected of a club like Southampton to have three top quality left backs just in case. We could take a gamble on Sam McQueen. The other side of the coin is that obviously the academy is a huge part of the history of Southampton Football Club. And ever since the Libes came in 2009, they've spoken, and the Libes consortium as a whole have spoken about how they want to see Southampton play games with a 70% Southampton Academy graduates, you know. So it's part of who we are, and the Southampton fans always love to see the kids coming through, and they always get standing ovations, they always get the chance, they always get,
you know,
the support.
Cheering, mate, you probably come on today, that was massively loud.
We had 5,000 down there today, and they were all up for Josh Sims. I suppose it is a difference in ethos. Arsenal fans are now accustomed to bringing in high quality players and targeting the cups, whereas Southampton the past 10 years have had the room to develop their own players. But at the same time, you have to look around at the other clubs in the league and see how many kids they bring through, and I think Arsenal aren't doing anything majorly spectacular with the couple they bring through per year. I think Iwobi was your last one, before that maybe Bellerin, but Coquelin was forced on you. You know, it's one a season, whereas Southampton are putting out two or three or four. And then you look around and there's West Brom putting out Lecco. That's their one for a season. And Man United had Rashford. That was their one for this season. I love the fact that Arsenal do give the kids a chance, but it seems like even when they do get the chance, even when they do perform, they either get booed off or they don't come back for a second appearance. And you need that consistency. You need to put your faith in them. Otherwise, there's no point in having them in for that one game to show them what they can do. They have to have the platform to build. Exactly. They have to have the platform to build. You either send them out on loan and let, you know, at a young age and make sure they get the games, or you say, right, if you're good enough, you'll play. And then if you're going to be good enough to play, then you're on the bench every other week. You know, you're in and around. You've got to give them more chance than I think Arsenal do sometimes.
The way I've seen Southampton come, I don't watch much of you, to be fair, okay, but they ease players in, and I think there's a general supportiveness for young players there, whereas, you know, at the Emirates, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and you've got to deliver straight away.
Good. Right. There's a really good point here that Gooners in the USA, who are a mighty fine podcast, go and give them a tickle on Twitter and listen to their stuff.
He says, best in the world at what they do. They'll get that reference.
They say, I can't remember which one. There's one bloke who uses this all the time. And I spoke to them for 3 hours. I can't remember his fucking name. Disgraceful. He says, Ross is verbalising things that 90% of football supporters think about Arsenal and why our fan base is so universally mocked. And then he follows that up with, I've heard exactly the same things from Everton supporters. Our friend Dean, he's an Everton fan, lives in the same village as me. He said he might come on here when we beat Everton. He says the same thing. He says, Arsenal are a club that should embrace what they do more often and should be proud of what we do, but so many people have short-termism and are short-sighted when it comes to everything. It's got to be right away. I've looked at this game. Remember last season when we played in the League Cup? We got the Ox, we got Theo, and we got Giroud injured. Now, just think the shit that would have happened if those would have all come on and played tonight, and they've all got injured in them. They'd have gone, it's a meaningless cup. Why is he playing him in a meaningless cup? But then when we lose, people are going, why didn't he play him? We want to win. We've got to win.
Yeah, can't win. The outcry was, it's Wenger's fault.
Yeah.
Wenger must be thinking, oh, it's amazing that Wenger's put up with this shit for so long. Bipolar fans.
And equally, if you put in, like I said earlier, if you put in a team of kids and we got humped 5-0, there'd be the same argument again. Oh, why is he playing all the kids? So
it's a chance of winning a trophy. The thing is, it is a chance of winning a trophy and we should compete, okay? I mean, but what I don't understand, again, is if you change the spine of the side, you know, you change the flanks, you change the top of the team, what do you expect?
Mm. The greatest manager in, I saw our good friend Janu there mentioned earlier on. He said, "Oh, you know, you need to bring in a progressive young manager with experience and real, you know, real tactical nous like Mauricio Pochettino." Well, yeah, he did brilliantly in the Champions League. Oh, and he pissed away the league when they'd practically won it. Oh, and they went out of this competition to Liverpool in the round before by playing a load of players that weren't good enough.
But Chris, you know, I could see I made the mistake of going on Twitter and the George Graham business came out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, to those who can't remember it, because they're a hell of a lot younger than me, but I remember going out to Wrexham at the race course.
Oh, was that when we were FA Cup holders?
Yeah.
Wrexham, Luton. Yeah. Millwall at home.
And yeah, you know, I mean, come on, this happens to all teams. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody posted something, which I kind of agreed with the sentiment. We've only won two of the last 45 caps. Well, if you go throughout our history, I'm pretty sure the average is about the same, if not lower. So, you know, we can piss and moan all we want, but, you know, let's have a bit of realism here. You know, we some of our greats have had humiliating defeats, you know.
Well, Josh has made a really good point. That's real Josh Dore, not the fake Josh. No one's made a fake Josh Dore account. That's waiting to happen. He says, the requirements for getting into the Community Shield is a lot harder than winning this. Furthermore, the way Wenger uses his competition is fine with me, and I agree with him 100%. That's exactly what I expect Wenger to do. In fact, I wouldn't even want to get to the final because Wenger would play the kids in the final and we'd get humped. So to get to the quarterfinal like we did now or get to the semi-final, that's more than enough. Gives them all a chance to play.
It's all reactionary again, isn't it? You know, I know we're doing an instant reaction show now, but it's all instant reactionary. If we turn up at the bloody Tesco Stadium, whatever the hell it's called, on Saturday night and beat West Ham 3-0, not one person is going to sit there and go, "Oh yeah, but we went out of the bloody League Cup. I'm so angry.
Sorry, Chris. Somebody will. Somebody will hold on to the bitterness. I mean, Dave Hollick makes a great point. Can't we, like, both George and Arsene, you know, we can appreciate these guys, can't we?
Bruce Rioch, we're not allowed to like.
Nobody likes Bruce Rioch.
He did wind the shit out of me. He's really, he ground my goat.
Another thing I want to bring up is the, remember against PSG, that we went in at halftime, played like a bunch of twats, come out the second half, Wenger had given them a massage and a foot tickle, and then for the first 10 minutes as we came out for the second half, we were phenomenal. Again, we did it today, but I must congratulate Southampton. I remember at one point, Ramsey was running with the ball, and then it went... four Southampton players around him. They were playing nine at the back, five in midfield and no one up front and three goalkeepers. I must applaud Southampton for that, Ross. Did I call you Josh? I might well have done because I'm reading what Josh is putting. For that, Ross, the way that your team just goes, no, there's no need. We're 2-0 up. You can attack all you want. And whenever you get the ball, we will surround you and we will get the ball off you. And that's why you had the most number of tackles and took the ball off us 16 times. What do you think to that?
Well, does that make you proud? It does, yeah. I'm a massive fan of defending in football anyway, so it's lovely to see my team, not so much mastering it, but certainly putting out a very good performance. The thing with Puel's system is that the thing isn't to minimise the quality of the chances, it's to make sure there is no shot. You know, I think we're one of the best teams in the division in terms of shots faced. The point of our defending is to cut things off at source rather than to push them out and let them have a shot from range or, you know, diminish them to a blocked shot here. It's to physically get in there and to say, no, you can't shoot. It's not your turn. And it's great to see. And obviously with a guy like Van Dijk, who I absolutely adore at the moment, in there as well. Even a player like Yoshida, who I cannot stand. Even Yoshida looks quality next to Van Dijk, and it helps the entire back line that there's a defender of that quality in there. And normally we've got Romelu as well, who's been absolutely phenomenal this season, just busting heads and getting in. And thankfully, Harry Reid is a great protege to him, and I think he's learned a lot from Romelu and from Puel this season as well. So absolutely, it's fantastic to see. But like I say, our defending philosophy isn't so much diminishing the chances; it's just saying no, you're not getting any.
And do you hold out much hope for getting to the final? Because I know it would be like a testimonial game in the two games against Liverpool, because it would be like Southampton v Southampton.
Yeah, I know. I've already been reading the comments about Liverpool scouts in the stadium and doilies on the seats. And yeah. I'm not confident because they are such a juggernaut. At the same time, I was mentioning earlier that they are the definition of a glass cannon in this league, and they do have defensive issues. And I think we proved the other week that you can keep them out. And as long as we're a bit better going forward, then absolutely we've got a chance, especially across two legs. But no, they are very, very dangerous, especially on the counter, and obviously the Sadio Mane factor in there as well. I've seen him for a year and a half now, and I know that he's absolutely lethal, and it's only a matter of time before Klopp turns him into something genuinely outstanding. So it does worry me.
Sorry? Is Mane that good?
He can be if he's consistent. That was his biggest problem at Southampton, was that he could be absolutely brilliant and then for three games just gone, you know, absolutely nowhere. And that run could last for anywhere between 3 and 12 games. You know, he just was non-existent. I think part of the problem with that though was Koeman and the way he set up. I don't think Mane was a massive fan of Ronald Koeman. So yeah, I absolutely believe that Mane can be one of the world's best in that position, but he needs to sort out the consistency. And I think Klopp is a man that will get goals out of him. But is that going to be enough to get consistency out of him? I don't know.
Right, going to move on to, I've asked them, our wonderful listeners, if, notice we don't call you fans because we're not that pretentious, you're listeners. I've asked you for some questions. First of all, Tiernan makes this point. Who are these? Oh, Jesus Christ, they're all typing at once. It's nearly gone. Who are these cunts? Wenger is not, calm down, Jason. Wenger is a useless manager. Southampton made 8 changes also, but he sent his team out with slowly, slowly catchy monkey attitude, while Southampton came out like wolves. No need to respond to that, but I think you just make a few good points. I don't think he is saying, maybe he's saying Wenger is useless. Anyway, some questions. The first one is...
Hold a bit. How can he be an useless man? This, you know, if
I'm not sure if that's the point he's making.
Yeah, no, it says Wenger's a useless manager. But, you know, how can he make Champions League every year, get out of the group stages every year? You know, you cannot finish above fourth every year and be an useless manager.
We all know what you're saying, Jace. Right, questions. Goon is in the USA. Where the hell is Vlad Dragomir these days? I don't know who that is.
He's progressing through the youth system. He's not. He's another one who's you know, slowly working his way up. He's going to be a very good player. He's very
high.
He's
one of ours.
Yeah, plays for the youth team. Him and Danielle Marlon are the two to watch.
Oh, did you see that Eddie Nketiah got a hat trick midweek?
Yeah.
Again.
Oh my God, that man is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Tierman should go to bed from Rudy. right. So I've got to be careful with this because when I scroll up and down, sometimes they all disappear.
While you get one, can I ask Ross one from me?
Yeah, sure.
Ross, if I said to you, as a Southampton fan, you can have Aaron Ramsey in your midfield, would you take him?
I don't know. Where would he play? Holding midfield with. In the Davis.
He's not a holding midfielder, though, is he?
No.
He's box to box, and that's it.
No, I'm thinking
away
of our
your
formation.
Current squad. Take away your current squad. Just on the ability alone, would you have him in your squad? Put it that way.
Oh, as a clean slate and work around him? Absolutely.
Yeah. And the reason I ask you that question is, you know, I'll hold my hands up. I've been critical of Rambo. I mean, Jace, even you've been critical of him at times.
He's not perfect week in, week out, is he? You know, let's be honest, okay? But you know, Ramsey is awful. Oh,
that's nonsense. The thing that really cheeses me off, and the thing that sort of actually bugs me a bit with Aaron is that he's easily good enough to play for Arsenal. Easily.
Let's get it straight. How many midfielders have scored 32 goals for this club in 3 seasons?
Exactly.
How many?
That's what bugs me, Jace, because I'm so sick of people say to me, oh, John's just here. Does he hate Aaron Ramsey as much as he loves Santi? I don't hate Aaron Ramsey. I think he's an absolutely brilliant footballer.
We like him even more because he's Welsh.
The thing that worries me with Aaron is I don't know whether he fits what we play. And I think that's the worry. And I agree with you, Jace.
This does frustrate him.
This myth about him playing as a number 10 is a myth. You know,
it's the biggest sort of bollocks ever.
Well, we've only got 10 more minutes, and you two are chatting.
I love Santi.
He just
annoys the shit out of me in front of goal.
I just think people should stop scapegoating him, that's all. Because, okay. You know.
Janu has made a sensible point. See, he is possible. Thoughts on being linked to the Red Bull, not Red Bull, Rasenball Leipzig manager?
It's not the manager on the other day.
It's the director of football who's done all that. I can't remember his name.
You've got me.
And he did it. Where did he do it before?
It's Rangnick, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, Ralf Rangnick.
That's him. But what was he up before he was at Leipzig?
He was at Schalke. Give me a minute.
I think it was Schalke. I think he took him into the top four or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he's developed another team. That's a young squad as well, isn't it? It's a really young squad.
First ever season in the top league.
Powered by not just money, but a momentum. They've built this over a period of seasons. It's not just come out of nowhere.
It's impressive.
Next question. Gunnar's in the USA. He's just making the point that he'd have put his kids on his house and kids on the fact that Shane Long would have scored in the 75th minute. What was your reaction when he missed, Ross?
Oh, I was going for him. I really was. If there's anything to make my night better, it would have been Shane Long to score, because he hasn't been brilliant since the season started. I think he's been, frankly, knackered after all the kicks he gets in games. I know he dives. I know he play acts, but he gets the crap kicked out of him every single game. And I think he's had a tough time of it from the January part, where he came in after Pella went out of form and he was our main striker for half a season, and then he went off to the Euros. So I would have loved to have seen him get one tonight, or hopefully he can get one against Palace on the weekend or Apoel next week.
Six
against Liverpool do me. Isn't it?
Was at Schalke, by the way, and at Hoffenheim is the club I was thinking of, the plastic club before they became plastic.
All right, next question is from James. He says, is Ross enjoying Koeman after Schadenfreude? Oh, if only Drew could hear me nearly get that right, he'd be so proud. Or is he too much of a good guy?
I'm now over it. But the Koeman thing, early doors... Yeah, it was very painful to see him go in the manner that he did, and it was nice to see him go through a little spell. But I have now moved past that. I'm more worried about old players. But I could sit here for an hour and talk to you about Koeman and possibilities of him coming to Arsenal, or if I endorse that, or how he left us, issues with him, positives, etc. But on the whole, it is nice to see him having a bit of a tough job at Everton. But at the same time, I am kind of over Koeman.
I got a question for Ross.
Go.
Pochettino this week had a pop at Sissoko, since not all about the money. I mean, did he not watch him at Newcastle? When he hijacked Sissoko's move to Everton, it's all a bit double standards. How do you feel about Pochettino now? Do you think good enough you tit?
I'm a lot calmer with Pochettino now than I used to be. When he first left us, obviously, he inspired this huge sellout with all our players. It was the first quote-unquote great summer of Southampton. And it was Pochettino's fault. He always said that he would stay if Cortese did. Cortese left, and then he left. And I think there was kind of a rumour going around here at Southampton that he'd gotten a few players' ears and said, the club's not going to be the same anymore. It's time to move. So at the time, I was pissed at him. Of course I was. But as time's gone on, I don't think you can deny that he's a very good manager. The more I see him, and the more I see his Tottenham side, and the way he's changed that, because before he went in there, it was very ragtag. It was very band of mercenaries. And now it feels a lot closer. It feels like a much more dangerous squad. And I think that's full testament to Pochettino. So nowadays, I'm a little more tame to him, especially after the way Koeman left us, after all that talk of staying to see out his contract and then leaving a year beforehand. I think he'll get a relatively good reception when he's now back at St. Mary's. But the Sissoko thing, is absolutely bizarre, because he and Koeman were both in on Sissoko that summer. They were both willing to spend £30 million on him. And I don't understand why, because apparently they were both in for him when they were here at Southampton. But we've got a black box scouting system where we put all the information on players into a data mine, and it tells you how many passes they made, how many tackles they made, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we keep saying he's not good enough. And both of those managers were like, no, we want Sissoko, we want Sissoko. And we went, no, we don't want him. And then as soon as they get a sniff of some money going around, and Newcastle said they might let him go, they were both in a shit fight for him. So it's bizarre.
Anyone that has genuinely watched Moussa Sissoko is sitting back in their armchair with a big cigar on going, there we go, told you so. He's the classic player who plays brilliantly one week and then goes absolutely missing for the next six.
Just go and listen to what the true Geordie has to say about Sissoko.
I was going to have told you the same on Wanyama, though. So
yeah, true.
Anyway, Pete, if you can see now why Ross is an integral part of the English Breakfast on Chris's podcast. They cover all football, and that's why it's very good. So go and give that a listen. I know I keep saying it, but it is very, very good. And they don't have enough followers or listens, but it's building. Right, Gazman Jones has his one crazy question per show, and we like these. He says, I'm really cold. And you're going to get, each one of you can answer one question. If you were on a desert island, if we were on a desert island together, A, what song would you take? That goes to Chris. Don't answer yet. What movie would you take? That can go to Ross. And if you can only have one sexual position until the end of time, what would that be, Jason? So let me know when you made your decision. That when you. Chris, what's yours?
Metallica, Nothing Else Matters.
Oh, good. Ross, what movie?
I hate films.
What computer game? What book?
Which one do you want, Danny?
book. You don't like films.
I would take Great Expectations by whoever wrote that. I've now gone minded.
That's a shame we didn't say song either, because you've got some right old choice tasting wonky
yes,
music.
Yeah.
What song would you have, Ross, as you're our special guest?
Everyone's now going to go and YouTube this and go, why on earth? It's my favourite song, which is The Ink Spots, When the Swallows Come Back from Capistrano.
Yeah, I was just listening to that earlier today.
Danny, you read Great Expectations.
No,
Danny?
I'm still waiting for the film to come out. I'm not much of a reader.
It's not all I hope for.
I'll take it as a joke about it.
Of course.
Jace, would you, for the ladies listening, would you like to let them know what is your favourite?
I'm not answering this. There's not a chance. Gazman Jones, you're a shit.
We all know it's Pile Driver, Jace.
No. I'm like laying back and thinking of Wales.
Technically known as the Kit Kat, right.
Our Gaz was at the game tonight, Danny. Did you know that?
Were you there, Gaz?
Yeah, he's up in London. He's looking forward to getting, I can't say that on air. He's looking forward to get flated by random people in an Islington B&B.
Is he going to see the ladies?
He's a married man, but he's staying in Islington tonight. So he might get ended at some point this evening. But yeah, he's a very cold man.
So Rody's asking, what is this confidential injury? Anyone know what he's talking about?
Confidential?
And Basti wants to know, who would you eat first on the island? Well, I'm not on the island, so it'll probably be Chris, because he's the love and fire. Jace would have him spit roasted within the hour. I mean, on a spit roast, not actually,
whoa,
campfire, stick, turning round, ready to eat. That's what I meant, to clear that up.
Oh, and Gaz has gone to hug Mr. Hollick, by the way. That's where he went.
We all like candles, don't we?
Yeah.
Right. Jace likes the reverse spider monkey from the Beard Welsh.
I tell you, only John Welsh should come out to something like that.
Oh,
by the way, it would be remiss of us not to mention the beard.
Yeah, shit beard, massive cock. That's what I've heard.
He's
a massive cock. Sorry, I got that all wrong.
Goodness in the USA have said that, speaking of Schadenfurther, he hit the bottle too hard before the last podcast and nearly passed out while podding with Chaz. Oh, Chaz Nuki Brown, as I keep
saying.
He was on their podcast.
Chaz the star.
Yes. So, we're going to go and tweet it from our podcast account, because Chaz is one of our favourites, even though yesterday I told him that he was being a silly boy for saying that the new £5 notes, they're signing a petition. I said, don't be so fucking stupid. Actually had a check, and none of us contain, and this podcast contain, any fat at all. So all you precious snowflake vegans, don't worry, you can lick the screen as much as you want.
To be fair, okay, I got handed a £5 note in Sainsbury's earlier on, and I'm fairly sure there's more cocaine on it.
Whoa. Yeah, so we're going to go and tweet the latest Gooners in the USA podcast with our mate Chaz on there.
Speaking of Chaz this weekend as well. But special.
Yeah. Oh, are you doing it this weekend?
No. I'm on the chat with him about how he wants to do it.
How he's going to do it.
And well, then we're going to record it the next week or the week after.
Right, we should wrap this up.
Injury, Danny, by the way, Mr. Holly. I'm just reading about it now. Speaking after the loss, Arsene Wenger said he has a confidential problem, not a secret problem. I'm not specialist enough to explain. It's not life-threatening. We had to rest him completely. All I'm going to say is...
I tell you what, okay, he was at Sainsbury's before me.
No, he's gone back to being a postman. That's the confidential injury.
Oh, Sonogo.
He's delivering mail, and some dogs bit him on the arm, and that is the confidential injury.
I tell you what, I thought his injury was his right foot. Poor bugger.
He's just going to say confidential injury is he's lost a leg or something.
No, he doesn't need to lose it. Put that.
Poor bugger. He'll pitch up in the Dutch fourth division one year. He'll be absolutely brilliant. Jesus, bless him.
Right. Before we shut this down for the night, we're going to this week's podcast is going to be hosted by the Cheeky Pirate. And we have just had it confirmed tonight via Twitter DM that the legend, the Swedish international and Arsenal goalkeeper, Rabbi Shaban.
Fuck it up again.
My brain's going, don't say Shaban. Rami Shaban. He's going to be on tomorrow, at Thursday. No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yes. God, it's tomorrow already. Yes. It's tomorrow in 39 minutes. Hey, who else is on with us, Chris?
Boys.
I'm just looking now frantically. I'm trying to remember who the hell we've booked. Me and Jason at the other night.
Hey, we got four thumbs down.
All of them are from Majib, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Snowflakes. While you're looking for that, this week's blog is by Simon Collings, the legend that is Simon,
very good.
And it's called Man United's Plight of Cautionary Tale for Arsenal, and he's just talking about what's happened to Man United and what could happen to us if we don't behave ourselves. I think
he's very good. He's excellent. He's brilliant on the pod last week. Right on this week's pod, we've got Chris hosting, Danny button monkeying, Rami Shaban guest star.
Not Shammy. Oh, it's going to be so hard not to say Shammy.
Mr. Fife and Mr. Hollick are the other two.
Yeah. Oh, he's just put in the chat window. Me, yes. Mr. Hollick will be on giving words.
It's a bit of a top lineup this week, isn't it?
Yeah, starting at 8 o'clock, if anyone's worrying. Oh, it's not going to be live, so it doesn't matter if I understand, David. Starting at 8, that's 9 o'clock, and it gives Chris time to get home from work. 9 o'clock in Sweden, that'll be.
Yes.
Right, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen and worms. This has been an ABW production. God, that sounded professional. Thank you very much.
ABW production.
Can we say thank you to Ross as well?
I'll say Ross to last.
Oh, okay.
Best to last, to be fair.
Cheers, Jace.
Cheers, Bet.
Cheers, Chris.
Love you.
And cheers to our very special guest, the Southampton fan and the legend of the English breakfast, Mr. Ross. Don't know your surname, something.
Bramble.
I knew that. Named after the
apple. Are you Titus's brother?
No, graciously.
Will you come back again and join us next time? You're going to hammer us, Joss.
If you'll have me, then of course.
Joss!
We just called him Josh.
Josh, that's why.
Fell in love with a girl, huh?
My brain telling me not to do it.
Cut.
Right, everyone say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Cheerio. John's beard shit.
all bring back the beat, and then everyone sings.
It's all about the money, money, money.
Forget about the price tag.